Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path. Now, that's a really important prayer because left to ourselves, we will not follow God's way. This morning at 10:45 service, we just, during confession, were reminded of that verse from Isaiah 53. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And so, like sheep, we desperately need a shepherd. We need someone who will care for us, but also someone who can lead us in the right way. And that brings us to another of Jesus' famous statements about himself. In John's Gospel, there are these seven I am statements that Jesus makes. And tonight we're going to think about what Jesus says in John 10. I am the good shepherd. And in saying that, Jesus was tapping into a theme that runs right through the Old Testament. And you can go back to Numbers 27, and in Numbers 27, Moses prays, may the Lord, the God who gives breath to all living things, appoint someone over this community to go out and come in before them, one who will lead them out and bring them in, so that the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd. Just as a flock of sheep need a shepherd to lead them, so God's people need a shepherd. Now from then onwards, the work of leading God's people was seen as being like a shepherd. So before he was crowned, the Lord said to David, you shall shepherd my people Israel. You shall become their ruler. But in doing that, those leaders were only ever serving the Lord, because ultimately, it's the Lord who was to be the shepherd of his people. In Psalm 95, we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Or in Psalm 80, hear us, O shepherd of Israel. And I think when Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, he was bringing those themes together. He was the Messiah, the one who could lead God's people. But he was also God. He was the great shepherd of the flock. Jesus, in saying, I am the good shepherd, was claiming that all that the Old Testament looked forward to when it spoke about the shepherd was fulfilled in him. And so this evening we're going to think a bit about that, but we're not going to start in John 10. We're going to start much earlier in the Bible. Probably the most famous Old Testament passage which talks about the Lord being a shepherd. It's Psalm 23. And Sheila's going to come and read it for us.
Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack for nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Psalm 23 is not just the best known and best loved of the Psalms. It's probably the best loved passage in the Bible. The popular Psalms, of course, but everybody knows the Lord is my shepherd, even people who don't actually know that those words come from the Bible. And I think when Jesus called himself the good shepherd, it was an invitation to us to apply those words to him and to see something about what it means for us to belong to him. So what does this shepherd do? Well, we heard at Psalm 23 verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. God wants the best for his people. He doesn't want us to be constantly struggling. Yeah, there will be difficulties in life. But actually, as we trust in him, what he wants us to be able to do is cast our burdens onto him and to allow him to refresh us. Doesn't mean that life will always be a bed of roses. Because A, we know it's a fallen world, and B, sometimes actually we need to be stretched if we're going to grow. But it does mean that if we're following the shepherd, if we're part of his flock, he will be nurturing us. And he leads me beside quiet waters. And the picture there isn't kind of a picture of something going out for a nice stroll on a Sunday afternoon along by a gentle river or something like that. The reason that a shepherd would take his flock by quiet waters is that they would be able to go to the water's edge and drink. That's what he wants us to do. That's what will refresh our souls. And he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Life is a complicated business. It's full of decisions. Sometimes we just aren't sure what's right and what's wrong. But when you follow the shepherd, he will lead you on the right path. You see, the shepherd can never lead you to sin. He just can't do it. It would go against his character. And again, the psalm doesn't mean that if we follow the good shepherd, we will never have another problem in our lives. Far from it. But through all of that, the Lord wants to lead us to do what is right. So this good shepherd wants to lead us, feed us, nurture us, refresh us, guide us. Of course, although this is such a well-loved psalm, it isn't really very complimentary about us. I was saying, if you're here this morning, saying about George Martin, who was part of the mission team who was here earlier this year, who was a farmer and had kept sheep. And he said, sheep are just stupid animals. Sheep, put a load of sheep in a field. If there is the smallest gap in the hedge, they will find it and they will be through it and they'll get themselves lost. And if we're honest, that's pretty much like us, isn't it? The Lord leads us along the right paths, but so often we kind of see something over there and wander off. And sometimes that leads us into deep trouble. Even though I walk through the darkest valley. Actually, I have to say, I do prefer the older translation, even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, because that's how life feels sometimes. I don't know if you noticed this about Psalm 23. It doesn't say anything about the Lord leading us there. In the first three verses, he makes me lie down. He leads me. He guides me. But now it's even though I walk. But when we do wander off the path, does God abandon us? No, of course not. Think of Jesus' parable of the lost sheep. It reminds us that if we do wander off and get lost, he's the one who comes to look for us. We may let go of him sometimes, but he will never ever let go of us. Trouble may come to us because of our own foolishness. But of course, trouble sometimes comes because of other people. We may face hostility from family or work colleagues because we follow Jesus. But when that happens, it doesn't matter, mean that the Lord has abandoned us. It's at times like that that he especially wants to support us. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And then surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. See, God's love is so much a part of his character that it can never fail. God will always love you. And not just for this life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Jesus is the one who can do all that for us. And you see it in John 10, because immediately after saying, I am the good shepherd, Jesus says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus cares for us so much that he was prepared to lay down his life for us so that we could be his, so that we could know his guidance, his mercy, his presence with us, even when we've gone astray. His protection when we're facing enemies, his goodness all of our days, and that hope of being with him forever. Jesus is the one who fulfills Psalm 23. And actually that means that it is only those who are part of his flock who can enjoy these great blessings. It's one of the great tragedies that so many people know and love Psalm 23, and yet they miss out on all that Psalm 23 talks about because they don't know the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Of course, that doesn't mean that nothing can ever possibly go wrong. It just means that when you have the shepherd, you have all that is most important in life. But you can actually know all of that about Psalm 23. That the Lord is the one who, like a shepherd, guides and provides for his flock. And still miss out on the things that that psalm promises. Because, as I've said before, the most important word in Psalm 23 is a really little word in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. It's possible to know everything Psalm 23 says about God is true, but not actually to know God yourself. So what's the essential difference between knowing about the shepherd and knowing the shepherd? I think it's summed up in something that Jesus said in John 10. John 10:27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. The big thing isn't knowing, just knowing all this wonderful stuff about the Good Shepherd. It's listening to him. See, effectively, Jesus is saying, if you are part of my flock, if I really am your shepherd, then you will listen to me. But if you aren't interested in listening to me, that's a pretty good sign that you aren't part of the flock. And if you've stopped listening to me, that may be a bit of a sign that you're doing a sheep and wandering off. And our problem is that we will never naturally listen to Jesus. It's been a human problem ever since Eden. Go back to Genesis 3, Garden of Eden. God told Adam and Eve not to eat the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden, but when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. And there were three good natural things there. This fruit was good for food. Well, God wants us to have good food. He provides for us. It was pleasing to the eye. Yeah, God wants us to see things that delight us. It was good for giving wisdom. Yeah, God wants us to know those things. These are all things that God wants for his people, and which, of course, people want for themselves. So you can almost see the cogs ticking round. Well, if God wants me to have the food and the things that are desirable for the eye and good for giving me wisdom, then surely God actually must want me to have that fruit. And so she ignored what God had said. She didn't listen. It is just so easy for us to do. And I think there are three kind of ways in which it's worth thinking about and asking ourselves the question, am I actually listening? The first is if you hear what the Bible says, but decide consciously to reject it. That usually happens when the Bible is out of step with what society says. So people assume that the Bible is out of date, it's irrelevant, they can ignore it. I think that's going on, happening big time in the area of human sexuality at the moment, but there are other issues where we are faced with this choice between what society says and what the Bible says. It seems to me that if you hear what the Bible says, but you reject it, then you're refusing to listen to the Good Shepherd. And if you're doing that, can you really claim to be part of his flock? My sheep listen to my voice. Now, I guess most of us here, yeah, Christians who are committed to the Bible, we'd be unlikely to do that. But there's actually a second way that this happens, which is kind of connected, but much more subtle. And that's when your worldview is so shaped by the society that you live in that you don't hear what the Bible actually says. You can read the Bible and you kind of do it with these blinkers. I think the classic example of that was slavery. Because when William Wilberforce campaigned against slavery, many Christians opposed him. And it wasn't because they had deliberately rejected what the Bible said. It's just that they were so convinced that slavery was part of the order that God had created that they just couldn't see it in the Bible when they came across something that contradicted that. And I have to confess that I just see things sometimes. I've seen some things coming out of North America and the election over there and some of the things sort of talking about the way that Donald Trump is such a great Christian role model. And I think, do they actually read the same Bible as me? Apologies to anybody who's a Donald Trump fan. But then when I do that, I have to admit that it probably means that I've got similar blind spots. And there are probably things where I've got my mind made up about what the Bible says, so I don't actually notice if the Bible is challenging me. I don't think that means, and I don't think doing that means that you're refusing to listen to the Good Shepherd, but it should actually make us quite humble with our handling of the Bible. Because, yeah, I suspect that there are things that I think that the Bible says, that when I spend the time studying the Bible, I'll find that actually it doesn't quite say what I thought it did say. And of course, there's a third way in which we might not be listening. How much time do I spend seriously, carefully, and prayerfully reading the Bible? Because that's how Jesus speaks. And if you rarely engage with the Bible, then you're not listening. And again, it doesn't mean that you aren't part of the flock, but there's this challenge here. Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice." And sometimes it's because we aren't listening to his voice that actually some of those blessings that Psalm 23 talks about just seem to miss us. Of course, listening doesn't always mean obeying. I'm pretty sure that every Christian here will be able to think of times when they have listened to what God says in the Bible, have had every intention of following it, and then have gone and done just the opposite. We're like sheep. We might listen to the Good Shepherd and then drift off in the wrong direction. But that does not stop God loving us. When you're part of the flock, God will never evict you from the flock. He's always at work, drawing his foolish sheep back. But life with the Good Shepherd is best when we listen to the Good Shepherd. "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." Jesus is the Good Shepherd. He's the one in whom all the blessings of Psalm 23 are fulfilled. All we need to do is to listen to him. The one other place where Jesus most famously talked about himself as the Good Shepherd was in Luke 15. Then Jesus told them this parable. "Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent." And Jesus, as that good shepherd, was the one who went out to look for us. The one who came to rescue us when we had no idea that we even needed rescuing. The one who brought us home and the one who guarantees our eternal security forever.